Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Lady Esther takes great pride tonight in bringing you one of the outstanding dramas in recent years. The Samuel Goldwyn motion picture, The Little Foxes, by the famous playwright Lillian Hellman. A significant story performed by most of the original cast. Bette Davis as Regina. Otto Kruger as Horace. Teresa Wright as Alexandra. Charles Dingle as Ben. And Loreen Tuttle as Bertie. The Lady Esther Screen Guild players in The Little Foxes.
June 16th, 1900. Mr. William Marshall of Chicago is in our midst for the day. He will take supper with the Hubbard brothers and their sister, Mrs. Giddens, who will show him what our southern hospitality is like. That was in the paper this afternoon. Mr. Marshall was with us for dinner tonight. The whole family was here, all except Papa. He's up in Baltimore in the hospital. And everyone was very gay. But there was a lot of business talk, too, and then just as Cousin Leo and I are about to take Mr. Marshall to his train.
Before you go, Mr. Marshall, may I suggest one more drink, sir? And a toast to the plan we formulated during our meal.
Ben, that's an excellent idea.
Mr. Marshall, I give you the firm of Hubbard, Sons, and Marshall Cotton Mill.
I'll drink to that, to Hubbard, Sons, and Marshall. Now, I'm afraid I'll have to rush. Mrs. Giddens, I'll expect to hear from you.
Oh, you will. Goodbye, Mr. Marshall.
Goodbye. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, Mr. Marshall. Goodbye.
Bertie, there goes the man who has opened the door to our future.
What?
Our future. Yours and mine, Ben and Oscar's, the children's.
Regina, you really think we've got him?
Don't you pretend, Ben. You know we have. You're like a cat that's been licking the cream.
When he accepted that toast, I could see the bricks of our cotton mill going into place.
I'll leave you and Oscar to count the bricks. I'm going to Chicago.
Chicago?
Yes, I'm going to live there, Bertie, where there's crowds and theaters and shops full of fine clothes. I'll give big parties for Alexandra, and I'll see that she meets the right young men. And later on, I'm going to take trips to New York and London and Paris. I'm going to have what I want. And everything I want.
That's going to take a lot of money, Regina.
I'll have money, Ben.
Yeah, I know, but enough.
What does that mean?
Well, Marshall's putting up $400,000. Now, we're putting up our local influence and $75,000 each. Oscar, myself, and you. Your husband.
I know all that. I know the terms.
Well, then you also know that the contracts have to be signed in 10 days. Now, Oscar and I have our money ready. But your $75,000, that is Horace's, it doesn't seem to be here.
That's right, Regina. You've written him. Ben's written him. We've all written him. Why doesn't Horace come home and talk business?
Yeah. Beginning to look like he doesn't want to.
Oh, but of course he wants to. But you know how those Baltimore doctors are once they get their hands on anyone with heart trouble.
If he wants to, why doesn't he? Doctors are no doctors.
Well, has it ever occurred to you that Horace is a good businessman?
Oh, there's no doubt about that, Regina. He owns the bank. Did it all himself, too.
Well, then, possibly, he may think he's not getting enough for his money.
Nonsense. That $75,000 will make him a million.
Oscar, I don't think that's what Regina means.
Huh?
She's saying that Horace wants more than his third.
But he's only putting up a third of the money. You put up a third and you get a third.
Yes, it would seem that way, Oscar. But there's no law about it, is there? I should think that if you knew your money was badly needed.
So, that's it. You want us to believe that Horace is deliberately holding out. Well, I don't believe it. I believe it's you. Am I right, Regina?
Well, it's only natural that I should look out for my husband's interests. Besides, you boys have done things like this. I've heard you say so.
I admire you, Regina. Well, how much do you want?
Now, Ben, I don't want to fight.
Oh, I don't either. You're holding us up, and that's not pretty. But we need you, and I'm a peaceable man. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give Horace 40%, provided he's home and his money is up within 10 days.
All right.
What I want to know is, where's this extra share coming from?
I don't know. Perhaps it could come off your share, Oscar.
Yeah. So that's my reward. For 30 years, I've worked my hands to the bone for you. Done all the things you didn't want to do, and now...
Oscar, you'll be a very rich man. Suppose a little more goes here, a little less there. It's all in the family.
Besides, I'll never marry, so my money will go to Alexandra and Leo. Who knows? They may even marry someday.
Marry? Zan and Leo? Why...
Bertie, you stay out of this. Of course, Ben, that would make a great difference if they married.
That's what I mean.
I know. Is that what you mean, Regina?
Oh, we'll talk about it someday.
I want to talk about it now.
But Oscar, they're first cousins, and that boy of ours is so wild. He's mean and bad-tempered.
Betty, I told you to be quiet.
Unnatural for a mother to talk that way about her own son.
I'm sorry.
Regina, how do you figure to get Horace back?
Tomorrow, I'll send Alexandra up to Baltimore. She'll tell her father I miss him and I want him to come home.
You think he'll come?
I know Horace. He'll come home.
Papa, you're sure you're all right? The stairs weren't too much for you?
No, I'm all right, Zan. Just a little tired from the train.
Addie, help him on the other side.
Yes, Miss Zan. You want I should take them packages?
Be careful. They're Papa's medicine. The pills every 4 hours and the special medicine only when... Only if Papa feels very bad. Remember that, Addie.
Since when I old enough to know a thing like that? Now, you run along and fetch your mama. I'll help Mr. Horace to his room.
All right. Take him slowly, Addie.
That child. Just like I ain't got no sense at all. In here, Mr. Horace.
My old room. Well, I haven't slept here since a long time.
Now, you sit down and rest yourself. I'll leave the medicine right here on the table.
Thank you, Addie. That's fine.
Horace.
Hello, Regina.
Horace, Alexander just told me you were here. Addie, you may go.
Yes, ma'am.
Horace, I am glad to see you. I wanted to come to Baltimore and be with you, but I didn't know where my duty was, here or there.
Oh, there really wasn't any need to come. I didn't have a bad time.
You didn't?
Well, maybe at first, but after I got used to the idea, I sort of liked it there.
You liked it? Hmm. So, well, you didn't want to come home.
No, that's not the way to put it. Regina, why did you send Zan to Baltimore?
Because I wanted you home. You can't make anything suspicious out of that.
I'm not trying to. Zan said you wanted me home, and I was pleased and touched.
Touched? That I should want you home?
Oh, I'm saying all the wrong things again, as usual. I meant that it made me feel good. Oh, Regina, let's try to get along a little better.
Yes, Horace, yes, let's try to get along. I want to. I want to very much. Horace, I hate to bother you today when you're tired, but there's something I've got to talk to you about. It's very important.
That cotton mill business you've been writing me about?
Yes. You see, the deal is coming to a close, and Ben and Oscar have to move quickly.
Of course, I understand. We'll talk about it one day.
But that might be too late.
Regina, I'm tired. Some other time.
Some other time won't do, Horace. I've been waiting for months for you to come home.
Why? Because you needed my money?
Don't you understand? It's for your interest,
too. Then I'm right. That is the reason you wanted me here. And I thought I... Oh, well.
Horace, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that was the reason.
But I think you did mean it. It makes me very sad. Now, if you don't mind, I'm tired. I'd like to be alone.
Morning, Papa.
You just getting up, Leo? You should have been at your desk in the bank an hour ago. What did your Uncle Horace think?
Oh, Uncle Horace won't know. He's been back 5 days and he hasn't even been near the bank.
Well, I don't want him getting angry now.
I know. You and Uncle Ben need him to put up that money. It would be so easy for him, too. He's got plenty, Uncle Horace has.
He certainly has.
$90,000 in Union Pacific bonds sitting right in his box.
Your safe deposit box?
Yeah. But they could be in Mobile for all Uncle Horace knows. He only looks in that box once every 6 months when he cuts the coupons. And sometimes the cashier even does that for him.
He does?
Yeah, well, the cashier even has the keys. And you'd think if somebody had those bonds...
Leo, how do you know about those bonds?
Huh? Oh, one of the boys, sir. It was one of the boys at the bank. He took the keys and opened the box.
What was his name?
It was,
Leo, tell me the truth. Did you open that box yourself?
No, sir, I didn't. I told you it was one of the
boys. Leo, I won't be angry. It's possible. Well, it may even have been a good thing if he did. Did you?
Yes, sir. I opened it.
Did anyone know?
No, nobody. Nobody was in the bank when I did it.
Well, you run along to work. I've got to stop and see Uncle Ben.
We thought we'd better wait, Horace, till the company left. This thing is pretty important.
Yes, I know, Ben, but it's late and I'm very tired.
Horace, this can't wait any longer. You've got to talk to us about it now. I've been patient all week.
And persistent, Regina. All right. Ben, what did you promise Marshall besides your money?
Water power. Free and plenty of it.
And you got that?
Easy. And cheap labor, too. I guaranteed an average of $3 a week.
$3 a week? You'll have trouble here, Ben.
Oh, there'll be no trouble. Marshall asked me about strikes. What's a strike, I say to him. Never heard of one. We got good folks here, and we don't stand for any fancy fooling.
Horace, there'll be millions in this thing for us.
Us? You and me? I don't think so, Regina. We've got enough money. We'll just sit by and watch the boys grow rich.
Horace.
I don't want any part of it. I've been trying to tell you ever since I came home.
Well, that's that, I guess.
Ben, you have to put Marshall off a few days.
I'm afraid I can't, Regina. We promised the money by the end of the week.
Well, Horace will change his mind. I'm sure he will. We just can't let this go.
Oh, I'm not letting it go. Oscar's leaving for Chicago in the morning.
Oscar's leaving? What do you mean?
He's going up to deliver the money to Marshall.
You're lying. You're trying to scare me. You haven't got the money.
I'll show you the receipt when he gets back. Good night.
Ben, come back here. I want to talk to you. Ben, did you hear me? I told you to stay.
You're getting out of hand, Regina. Since when do I take orders from you?
So they found out they don't need you, Regina. And so you will not have your millions after all.
You hate to see anybody live now, don't you? You hate to think I'm going to be alive and have what I want.
You think that's my reason?
Yes. Because you're going to die. You know you're going to die.
Well, maybe it's easy for the dying to be honest. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of this house. I'm sick of my unhappy life with you. I'm sick of your brothers and their dirty tricks to make a dime. You'll wreck the town, you and your brothers. You'll wreck the country if they let you, but not me. I'll do no more harm now. I'll die my own way, and I'll do it without making the world any worse. I'll leave that to you.
I hope you die. I hope you die soon. I'll be waiting for you to die.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
I've been glancing through the many letters I've received about my new shade of face powder, Bridal Pink. One woman says, "It's such fun to look suddenly 10 years younger." Another writes, "My husband says I look a lot more glamorous and exciting now." And still another says, "I love the way Lady Esther Bridal Pink makes my features look smaller and daintier." Now, here's why Lady Esther Bridal Pink face powder does so much more for your appearance than any powder you've ever used. It's made differently. The color and powder particles aren't just mixed. They're blown together, completely fused, by the force and speed of hurricanes. Because it's so highly pulverized, the effect on your skin is really spectacular. The color is so vibrant and alive, the texture is so downy and smooth. Whatever tiny lines or marks you may have on your face are completely covered and seem to vanish into nowhere. Lady Esther Face Powder clings 4 hours and longer, yet it's light and cool as a summer breeze on your skin. So be sure to ask for Bridal Pink. This one shade is intensely flattering to 4 basic skin types. It doesn't matter whether your hair is blonde, brown, auburn, or black. Bridal Pink will instantly give a more vital, a more fascinating look to your entire appearance. So remember, insist on Lady Esther Bridal Pink. No shade of powder can give you that happy, radiant look. That look of a woman in love, like Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder.
And now, Lady Esther presents the second act of The Little Foxes, starring Otto Kruger, Charles Dingle, Loreen Tuttle, Teresa Wright, and Betty Davis.
There's something going on in our house. Something, I don't know exactly what. Today after lunch, we were sitting in the garden, just Papa and Aunt Bertie and myself, and I was thinking, How different Aunt Bertie is when she's alone with us. She seems so happy and so gay. And then Addie brought out some elderberry wine, and Aunt Bertie had a glass or two, and I suppose that's what made her talk the way she did. All about when she was young and living at Lionette. That was the plantation her family owned. And the more she talked, the happier she seemed. And then suddenly she laughed and said...
You all want to know something? I don't like Leo.
No, Bertie.
My very own son, and I don't like him. Isn't that funny, Sam? I guess I even like Oscar more than Leo.
Aunt Bertie, why'd you marry Uncle Oscar?
Oh, Miss Anne, that's no question for you to be asking.
Why not, Eddie? It's time she was asking questions.
Aunt Bertie, why did you marry Uncle Oscar?
I don't know. I thought I liked him then. Just ask why he married me. I can tell you that. He's told me often enough.
Miss Bertie, don't.
My family was good. That was part of it. But the cotton on Lionette's fields was better. Ben Hubbard wanted that cotton, and Oscar Hubbard married it for him. Everybody knew that's why he married me. Everybody but me.
Miss Bertie, you talk this way and you get a headache, sure.
I've never had a headache in my life. You know it as well as I do. I've never had a headache, Sam. That's a lie they tell for me. I drink. All by myself, in my own room, by myself, I drink. And then they say Bertie's got a headache again.
Aunt Bertie, please don't.
Even you won't like me anymore.
I love you. I'll always love you.
Well, don't. Don't love me. Because in 20 years, you'll be just like me. They'll do the same things to you.
Bertie, Bertie.
You'll trail after them, Zan, just like me. Hoping they won't be so mean that day. Or say something to make you feel so bad.
Oh, don't, Aunt Bertie, don't.
Addie will stay with me, Zan. You take Aunt Bertie home.
Come on, Aunt Bertie. We'll go home now. Come on, just you and me.
Eddie, you read your Bible much?
You know I do, Mr. Horace.
And you'll remember the passage. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Eddie, tell Cal to get the carriage out.
Mr. Horace, where are you going?
I've got a lot to do, not much time. I'm going over to the bank for a while. Eddie! Eddie!
Oh, Mr. Horace, what are you so upset about? Oh, I know I should have kept you away from that bank.
Eddie, is Miss Regina at home?
Yes, sir. Miss Regina's in the living room.
Tell Zan I want to see her. I'll be in there.
Yes.
Yes? Horace. Horace, we agreed that you ought to stay in your part of the house and I in mine. This room is in my part of the house. Please don't come in here again.
I won't. I only came in this time to tell you that, after all, we've invested our money in Hubbard, Sons, and Marshall cotton manufacturers.
When did you change your mind?
I didn't change my mind. I didn't invest the money. It was invested for me.
What are you talking about?
I had $90,000 worth of Union Pacific bonds in my safety deposit box at the bank. They're not there now.
What kind of a crazy joke is this?
No joke. You see, I don't look in the box very often. If someone wanted to, shall we say, borrow the bonds for just a few months?
Who?
Oh, not you. That's obvious. You're too surprised. Your brother, perhaps?
Well, that's nonsense. Neither Ben nor Oscar could get in the bank.
No, they couldn't. Leo could. He must have known that the cashier kept the keys. Once the mill was being built, they could have borrowed the money and replaced the bonds.
Well... this will make a fine little scandal.
Couldn't it?
A fine little scandal to hold over their heads.
Yes. If I wished to hold it over their heads.
What?
I'm going to keep them. I'm going to keep those bonds as a loan from you. Understand, Regina? A loan, not an investment. An investment would give you a share of their profits. A loan is simply returned.
I see. You're punishing me.
I shall say and go on saying that you lent them the bonds.
How could I? They aren't mine.
They will be, Regina. I'm making a new will. I'm leaving you the Union Pacific bonds. The rest and my insurance will go to Zan.
And you'll never say anything?
Never, as long as I live.
Horace, you must hate me very much.
No. No, I don't hate you. Perhaps because I remembered how much I loved you once.
I don't hate you either. I have only contempt for you. I've always had.
It was as bad as that?
I thought you were such a soft, weak fool. I despised you.
Why didn't you leave me?
Where was I to go? What money did I have? Besides, I think I always knew that you would die before I did. But I couldn't have guessed that you would get heart trouble so early and so bad. I'm lucky, Horace. I've always been lucky. I'll be lucky again.
Oh, Regina, I don't feel very well. I'm afraid I'll need my medicine. If you could get it for me, please, upstairs. Regina, my medicine. You'll have to hurry. Don't just stand there. My medicine. Upstairs. Don't you understand? Oh. No. You couldn't. You couldn't. Eddie. Come. No. If you can't hear me, I have to go up myself. Upstairs. I will. I'll get up those steps.
Eddie, Zen! Mama, what is it? I thought I... Papa! Zen, you better go and bring the doctor. I'm afraid your father isn't well.
What do you think, Ben? Suppose he doesn't pull through.
Well, suppose he doesn't.
They'll be checking his estate. They'll find those bonds gone.
Well, Regina wanted to go in this with us, didn't she? Who's going to know it wasn't her?
No one, Ben. Just me.
Regina.
I thought you boys would want to know. Horace is dead. What's the matter, Oscar? Are you getting a cold?
No, I just...
Well, Ben, shall we talk?
Talk? About what, Regina?
Those Union Pacific bonds. Horace told me you had stolen them.
Stolen them?
You trying to
Don't
save
argue. Them? It's easy enough to prove. Those bonds are with Mr. Marshall right now.
Regina, how can you talk this way? We went upstairs not 5 minutes ago.
Yes. Not 5 minutes ago, Mama. Alexandra. Not 5 minutes ago.
We know how you feel, Alexandra. The whole town loved and respected your father.
Did you love him, Uncle Oscar? Did you love him, Uncle Ben? And you, Mama. Did you love him, too?
You had a bad shot, my dear. Please go and lie down. Please go, Alexandra.
No. I want to talk to you, Mama. I'll wait. I've plenty of time now.
Very well. Now, let's see, Ben. Ben, where were we? Oh, yes. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to Judge Sims. Unless, of course...
Oh, Regina, not
I didn't
the father's
ask
child.
Her to stay. Ben, I'm sure you realize they'd convict you. But fortunately, you have a choice.
Now, Regina, look here.
I don't want to hear any more about it. You'll do no more bargaining in this house. I'll take my 75%, and we'll forget the whole thing.
Greedy? What a greedy girl you are. You want so much of everything.
That's the way I prefer. But you know me well enough to know I won't mind taking the other way.
I'm afraid I've never known you well enough, Regina.
You're getting older, Ben. You aren't as smart as you used to be. All right, I take it that it's settled, then. You can draw up the necessary papers tomorrow. And be quick about it. You know, you boys are sort of working for me from now on.
That's a funny thought.
You're a good loser, Ben. I like that.
Well, you lose today and you win tomorrow. I say to myself, the century's turning, the world is open. Open for people like you and me. Ready for us, waiting for us. There are hundreds of Hubbards sitting in rooms like this all over the country. All the names aren't Hubbard. But they're all Hubbards. And they'll own this country someday.
I think so.
Then, too, I say to myself, things may change. Someday, I'm going to find out why a man in Horace's condition was trying to climb those steps alone.
When you find out, Ben, write me. I'll be in Chicago.
Well... Good night.
Good night,
Come
Ben.
On, Oscar.
All right.
Now then, Alexandra.
Don't sit there staring like that. You've been around Birdie so much, you're getting just like her.
Yes, I might have been like Aunt Birdie.
Don't grieve too much. You'll feel better when we get to Chicago. I'm going to give you the world I always wanted.
I don't want the world, Mama. I'm not going to Chicago with you.
You're upset, Alexandra. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
There's nothing to talk about. I'm going away from you. I want to go away from you.
And if I say no?
Say it. Say it and see what happens. Mama, what was Papa doing on the staircase? What was he doing on the staircase?
Alexandra, I'm very tired. I'm going up to bed.
Goodbye, Mama.
Alexandra, we don't have to be bad friends. I don't want us to be bad friends. Would you like to come up and talk to me for a while? Would you like to sleep in my room tonight?
Why, Mama? Are you afraid?
Thank you, Teresa Wright, Charles Dingle, Otto Kruger, and Betty Davis for a deeply moving story.
Mr. Bradley, it's always a privilege to play before this audience, and by appearing here, take part in the magnificent work being done by the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house. Ask us back again soon, won't you? And now, before you hear about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Davis. Ladies, perhaps you're not entirely satisfied with the effect of makeup on your skin. You may be wondering why your powder doesn't look as smooth and clear as it should. Now, it may be that dry, rough flakes on the surface of your skin are causing the trouble. Flakes so tiny you can't see them with the naked eye. But you can see the radiant difference when those dry flakes are removed. You can see and feel the silky new texture of your skin. To remove those dry flakes, just rub Lady Esther four-purpose face cream well into your skin, then wipe it off, gently but completely. Lady Esther face cream loosens and absorbs the dry, clinging particles of skin nature is trying to throw off. And when you wipe off the cream, along with it come all those dry, aging flakes, leaving only the new, young skin, which is smooth as velvet. And on this new skin, your powder takes on a fresh, vibrant look. Every time you use Lady Esther face cream, it's like a complete beauty treatment. First, it thoroughly cleans your skin. Second, it softens your skin. Third, it helps nature refine the pores. And fourth, it leaves a smooth, perfect base for powder. For an exciting change in your appearance, try this. Use Lady Esther face cream first. Then apply Lady Esther face powder in Bridal Pink, the new shade that's so daringly romantic. Bridal Pink, the shade that women say make them look 10 years younger.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present Gildersleeve's Bad Day. It will star the original cast featuring Harold Perry in his well-known radio and motion picture character, the great Gildersleeve. Be sure to listen. Betty Davis can now be seen in the Warner Brothers production, The Corn is Green. Otto Kruger is currently working in the David O. Selznick production, Duel in the Sun. Teresa Wright appeared through the courtesy of Samuel Goldwyn. Charles Dingle can now be seen in the United Artists comedy, Guest Wife. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Our great Navy needs 20,000 waves urgently. Fine jobs are open, good pay, interesting work, and the finest of training. Help your Navy. Be a wave. Call the nearest Navy recruiting office immediately. Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.